We are checking in with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy. It's time for another Tacky Talk Thursday today. Tacky, how are you?
Hey, yeah, happy Thursdays with Tacky on July 18th at about 11:06 ish p.m. Actually, wish it was p.m. now, but a.m. And it's not really too hot, but the mugginess makes it warmer than it is.
Yeah, we've had a pretty brutal stretch here for sure, but I think we're going to get some relief going forward for a while.
Yeah, some of us probably heard thunderstorms last night. I definitely did. I mean, it was just like one moment it was quiet. Next thing, you know, the skies opened up. You could hear the rain just beat down in my part of the city.
Tacky's got a tie on today, so something official must be happening.
Well, I am heading into the State House today. So we had had a series of morning virtual meetings, and then got to dash into the State House by 1 o'clock for a roll call of votes. Again, I don't complain. I'm from Quincy. It's not that bad a ride. My colleagues from the Cape and far West Mass and, you know, much have a harder time getting to the State House. So,
oh, yeah, they've been on the road since 9 o'clock this morning. So,
well, even earlier, depending on, you know, if you have to do the windy roads of the Berkshires, I mean, it even takes longer to get to Boston. And
right.
Our good friends in Rosendale reminds me that it can take 2 hours to get from Rosendale to downtown as well.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you don't have straight lines from those sections of Boston. So Quincy is actually faster than Rosendale to get to Beacon Hill. So, yeah, so we've got the tie on, but I would like to get the kickoff with some quick public service announcements.
Okay.
First is, well, we can't see this in the podcast, but on video, I mean, it's reversed, but you do have your voter, mail-in voter applications are out. They've been in the mail. It's a little postcard here. And you can actually apply online to register and apply for your mail-in ballot and to track your mail-in ballot at www.voteinma.com. So voteinma.com is the website. Actually, it doesn't work great on Chrome, I discovered, but it does work on Explorer. I don't know why. It also works great on your phone. So, you know, I strongly encourage folks that if you haven't registered to vote, you can vote online at the voteinma.com, as well as getting your mail-in ballot. Secondly, some of us in Quincy, or hopefully all of us in Quincy, has received your mosquito control what you can do. It's in more than one language, as several pages regarding what to do regarding mosquito breeding issues. I bring this up because my staff has been on a call with public health regarding Triple E and the fact that we have two cases in Quincy, the first two cases in the state, actually, regarding Triple E and the West Nile virus. And, you know, it is actually, scary enough, a fairly high death rate of 50%. Especially if you're over the age 50 and you have or have immune compromised situations, Triple E and West Nile virus is not super common in terms of infection rate. However, it has an abnormally high death rate because people tend to ignore the symptoms because what happens is that it feels like a lot of cold, you're feeling unwell, but then it gets really like nasty. And then you get sick fast and you go downhill fast. So it is the summertime. You know, most of us don't get fevers in the summer. It does indeed happen. But, you know, get rid of still water around your house. Make sure you have proper drainage. Mosquito eggs, you know, take 5 to 2 weeks, depending on how much still water we're talking about to breed. I live next to a marshland. And you all know, wear clothing that has sleeves or some bug spray, particularly in the dusk hours. I know that the weather has been brutal for evening walks and jogs. But, you got to take this seriously, given the wet weather and increased mosquitoes. I mean, the state budget has money for the Norfolk County Mosquito Control Board, which is in charge of mosquito control and pesticide spraying, or I don't know what the chemical is. They've been doing it forever, and the marshland seems to be just fine in front of the house. But, you know, they're doing the best they can throughout the county to address the mosquito issue. And I'm sure the City Department of Public Health is keeping an eye on monitoring the mosquito egg levels and whatnot around the city, particularly since we have so much marshland. So, you know, and not trying to scare you all, but I'm just letting you know that this has become a heightened issue largely because of the wet weather we've just had. And it looks like it will continue to be wet weather. So, you know, be safe out there. And We do have a COVID increase as well. Hospitals are recording more COVID illnesses, but much less hospitalizations than we have in the past. And again, it's the summer fever. And we know the flu doesn't really are strong in the summer periods, but COVID doesn't care about heat. It actually likes heat. So if you have a flu-like symptoms, with a fever and so forth, maybe just take a COVID test. Most likely, most of us are hopefully vaccinated or may have been affected before, so it reduces your severity of symptoms. But immune-compromised folks continue to be, very threatened by COVID. And it's a new variant. I think it's called FLRT or something like that. We're into like the Fs in variants with a whole bunch of letters. So there'll be another vaccine coming out for those who want to take a vaccine, probably in the mid or late fall. Obviously, if you age, senior citizen age, I think if anyone's over the age of 60, 55 or 60, you can get a booster shot now based on the previous variant. So if you get a booster shot now, you'll probably be okay to get another booster shot in the late fall. So, that is an option. But just to let you know about that. And lastly, the scams continue on our cell phones. You're going to get text messages from Easy Pass about owing money. That is, and the other one is, do you need a job? So one of the big scams going around on posting sites, as well as places like LinkedIn, as well as direct text messaging, is that you pay us to get a job because you need to pay for training. And the other one is, you owe Easy Pass money because there's like some account error or something like that comes up. It has like the big logo, it has all the pictures. Easy Pass is automatically debited to your credit card, and they will mail you a bill if you use the Pike or the Ted Williams Tunnel without a transponder. They will send you a bill in the mail using your license plate number. So you will never get a text message or an email from the state asking money for using the toll service if you don't have a transponder. If you do have a transponder, you shouldn't have a problem. And you do get email updates to check your account on Easy Pass. You can go onto your Easy Pass account online, you can make an account and confirm the billing on that. But the state does not ask for money by email. The state does not ask money by telephone. They'll send you a letter in the mail if you don't have an active transponder. So the scams are coming up. So between mosquitoes, COVID, and all of these scams, I'm just trying to bring to your attention that this stuff really has come hot and heavy in the last few days. And of course, early voting, mail-in voting opportunity has begun. Obviously, I encourage everybody to exercise the right to vote, especially the primaries coming up on September 3rd. September 3rd.
Yeah, it's the day after Labor Day this year, so it's coming up quick.
I think it's literally the earliest possible day you could do a primary.
It is, yeah, first Tuesday in September, right? Is yeah, happens to be the 3rd this year.
Yep. So my friends in state government in primary situations in full-blown campaign mode. There's a lot of campaigns going on. Well, actually, there isn't that many campaigns going on, but I mean, my friends in actually more liberal areas are actually now facing primaries.
Yeah, and then the general is November 5th, so that's also very early.
That is also very early. It is, but because September is so early, those in open seats in particular, where you have both a primary and a final, it's actually an okay amount of time. It's just about 7-ish weeks. Because I remember I had to do mine in, I think, 6 back in 2010. So, the extra few days does make a difference.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, the mail-in applications. Now, I spoke to the city clerk here in Quincy. She said if earlier this year, back in the March primary, if you indicated that you wanted to get a mail-in ballot for the whole year, then you're all set. So you don't have to worry about it. But if you didn't, then fill out this latest application and she'll send out the ballots.
And obviously, you can check with the clerk if you're not sure if you did fill out the first application. And
Right.
that was back in February.
Right. Yeah,
So,
exactly. Yeah.
some of you may not remember what you did back in February. However, if a ballot shows up in the mailbox, then you did fill out something in February.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, and it won't hurt if you get two. You can only
Well,
vote once anyway, so you.
they do actually track that. People are rest assured that the city does track and ensure they only vote one time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And my mother actually did have a ballot problem, and she did go to City Hall and the clerk's office, and they're able to address her issue regarding her ballot. So don't feel like that you got something that you're stuck with the problem. I mean, definitely call the city clerk's office. They're super duper helpful. And they will address any issues, concerns you may have to ensure that, if you got like the Republican ballot, but you want to have a Democratic ballot in the primary, for example, you can resolve that by going to City Hall.
Easily. Yep, absolutely. It's they bend over backwards really to make sure that the voting process is done as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, it's no difference if they gave you like the wrong one, and you showed up in person. I
That's
mean,
right.
it would be the same situation if you got hit the wrong thing by accident and you walk into the little oof container, whatever you call that thing now, to the table and you look at your ballot, oh no, this is not the one I want. And you go back to the check-in, they'll correct that issue.
Yep,
So
they just strike that and give you the right one, and it's not a problem. Yep.
yeah, so don't feel like that just because you didn't vote in person, you don't have the same capacity to address a problem.
Exactly. Yep.
But again, I encourage everyone to please vote on September 3rd. I know it's a little bit early to make this ask. We'll probably do it again in about 4 weeks. But it's still very important that people do show up.
Yeah, August 24th is the last day to register for the primary.
Yep. And again, you can do that online as well. The website I just gave like four times earlier, it's also online voter registration. And you can track things. You can track your ballot's progress, whether it's actually at the clerk's office, for example. If you don't see it online, you're like, okay, what happened? You can always just like call in and say, look, I mean, I don't see it there yet. It's been like 8 days, right? But the post office is also prioritized getting ballots to city and town clerk's offices as quickly as possible.
Yes.
That's something that people didn't realize during COVID when we first did this. Post offices was given, notice that to prioritize these pieces of mail first.
Yes, absolutely. Especially here in Quincy, they went right from the mailbox to City Hall, without having to go through Boston. So it was expedited.
Yeah, and three post offices in Quincy, it makes it very convenient for everyone to be able to get these ballots in.
Sure, absolutely.
So I know it's a little early to talk about this, but I felt, I got mine in the mail. I feel like I should let everybody know.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's too early, actually. We'll keep talking about it too as it gets closer, for sure.
Yeah.
Since last we talked, a lot has happened, Jackie, in national politics.
Yeah, as I actually it was pretty interesting this week. I actually spoke to students from Wenzhou Medical School at the New England School of Optometry. There's some visiting students. I actually had a talk with folks from Rural Boston, who was hosting a State Department group from Latin America. I was talking to several electeds as well as not-for-profit heads as well as advocates from different Latin American countries, as well as my annual intern talk at the State House. I had a very busy Monday. I actually did lose my voice by the time it was 4 o'clock. It was a long talking day for me. But yeah, it was unavoidable that national politics was brought up as part of the conversation, especially the tragedy of this weekend where something that should never have happened, which is an assassination attempt on former President Trump, that should have been preventable. And I'm a little too young because I was a child when Ronald attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan when he was actually shot. That was back in what, 81?
That's right. Yep, exactly.
So I was a little too young for that, but I do remember the news coverage as a child. But I mean, it does is a shock, especially after 9/11, especially after the Boston bombing. The security levels, should be considerably higher, especially the highest office holders in the country, meaning, the president, vice presidents, speaker of the house, Senate, the majority leader, the minority leader. I mean, they generally have the highest protection levels. But, campaigning nationally, as we all now learn, is a lot of involvement regarding Secret Service, getting out there ahead, working with local law enforcement, make sure to secure the site. And this still happened. And also reminds us lone wolf actors are out there and they don't need a huge social media presence. They don't have to have manifestos. They don't have to have all this stuff that we all would need like explanation for out in the internet that would give you like a warning. So far, law enforcement's found minimal indications of anything on his phone or the internet regarding a motive or foreshadowing about a, basically assassination attempt.
Yeah, it does appear that the security procedures are being looked at pretty closely, for some faults there for sure.
Yeah, and at the end, it reflects the fact that, I mean, the FBI and local law enforcement are doing their jobs the best they can. And, I do know that those tragedies are prevented, not necessarily, on the presidential level, but also on the local level, because you never hear about the prevention. You only hear about the ones that, that happens, the tragedies that do happen. At the same time, though, you can't, this shows again, you can't track it all. We make a big deal about the internet, and it's true, there's a lot of information out there, but if you have no footprint, then how are you going to find you?
Yeah, no, that absolutely right. So, and it, I guess it does lead to the bigger conversation that we should talk about is access to these types of assault rifles, which, is apparently what this person used.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, we're going to be voting on a firearms reform update. It seems like every 10 or so years we end up working on one of these bills as technology changes and frankly criminal activity changes and how they use firearms come up. And I need to start off by saying that if you're an existing firearm holder and you have a license and you committed no crimes, you're not losing your guns. I mean, this is the thing that constantly we get is that you're taking away our weapons. Now, I've been around this place since 95, involved mostly a staff person before I got elected on firearms. And every single version of these bills have a grandfathering clause to ensure that that you are able to keep your firearms if you comply with the law and you had no prior law violations to do that. We also address new things like ghost guns. Was something we never thought about 10 years ago. We never could conceive a 3D printer making a firearm. We didn't know there's things called cranking. You can crank a gun, which I don't actually understand how you could do it in terms of changing a firearm to be more auto, well, rapid fire, let's put it that way, more rapid fire by altering an existing firearm. And then, continuation of the so-called assault weapons ban from 1990. Eight, but I mean, it's really the federal one that was back expired in 1995. That's always been on the books. That is not a new issue. And then we codified the 2016 Attorney General definition of assault weapons that everyone's been living with for the last 8 years. And even with her regulations, you were grandfathered in as well. We changed some of the penalties around for more penalties. Regarding crimes with a firearm, we do expand folks that are able to flag people with mental health, folks that have regular proximity, particularly the medical care industry, like therapists, that see signs of legit danger to be able to make an evaluation of whether or not it should be reported as a danger to yourself. Guns actually is one of the highest ways of committing suicide in this country. It's not the highest, but it is a very high usage. So that's a huge concern of us as well. And then we have a better online tracking. We're going to require better online tracking for you as a license holder to be able to track the progress of your license online in terms of its application process and renew process, because we really think there's a problem here that if you got your license in, you should be able to find out what's going on. Which reminds me, I have a driver's license I got to renew soon too, which frankly is also at a black hole of where I am in the process, right? So, but particularly in firearms, we think that licensees and like potential licensors should be able to, or potential licensees should be able to, better know whether their guns are. We also close a loophole regarding shooting at a building. Believe it or not, if you commit a crime and you fire at a dwelling that is not your intended dwelling you want to shoot at, that is not a crime. Defies a lot of stuff I learned in law school about intent-based crimes. So, we actually do close that loophole in this bill that you fire at a dwelling. It doesn't matter if there's the intention to fire that particular dwelling, it is a felony. So that's kind of the summary of the big highlights, you know, of this bill. The tricky part, of course, is addressing Supreme Court case regarding where you can carry it. The Supreme Court says you can, you know, prohibit carrying in sensitive areas. So government buildings, for example, at the state level has always had a prohibition regarding firearm carrying, unless there's like law enforcement or special situations. So that's how the municipalities can choose whether or not to have firearm carrying allowed in their properties. Law enforcement, whether on or off duty, will be permitted to carry the firearms on any premise. And then private property owners can choose what they want to do. If you're a private property owner and you don't want to have someone carrying a firearm, where your property rights are also preserved. That actually was a big conversation for us and a lot of folks about, you know, should property owners have the right to make conditions of people to enter their private property? So commercial property can make their own decisions, and you as a homeowner can as well.
Okay. Yeah. And what about the municipal buildings, like, I don't know, city halls?
They can decide what they want to do.
Okay.
We're going to leave it up to them.
Okay.
But again, also law enforcement on and off duty can carry their firearms where they want. So that's.
Yeah. As long as they're certified law enforcement, right? They're.
Oh, yeah. 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 You can't be just some pretend cop. You have to be like a real cop.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. It sounds like the crux of it is to address the whole ghost guns issue mostly.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, this year's Supreme Court case, you know, we had to work with and try to ensure that we fall into compliance the best we can, you know, inside the lines. And we didn't do anything like crazy like New York did. Like New York created these monstrous buffer zones on where you can't carry your firearm. And even I think that was insane. This one, you know, is really about places that the court says you can ban them, like schools, for example, is on the court's list. But, you know, we also believe that property owners' rights have priority. If you're a property owner, if you feel that you should not have any rights to say what people should do on your property, we've never heard anyone say that to me before. So,
right.
You know, you're a property owner and I tell you, you have to let anybody onto your property regardless of conditions, you probably look at me like, no.
Right.
So
that's
actually one of the interesting parts of what we did that like places like New York did not do. New York actually took away essentially people's property rights of what they can and cannot do in the property by creating these ginormous buffer zones of no firearm carrying that, you know, bleeds into people's private property.
Well, I bet you that'll be challenged.
I think I'm going to lose that in New York. I just really have a hard time seeing how that's going to pass any tests. I have to be honest with you.
Right.
These ours is follows the Supreme Court guidelines regarding sensitive areas in particular. So, I mean, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
So your court is an up down vote. So I'm getting emails already say, you know, slow down the bill and, you know, can we do amendments? You can't amend a conference report. It's a straight up yes and down vote. And that's it. There's no chance to amend this. You can't do anything else with it.
Okay. So is the Senate's voting on it soon, I think, isn't it?
House is going first today. Senate will probably take it up early next week.
Okay. All right. Okay. So potentially passage during the session.
Oh, it will.
Okay.
The governor says at some point next week. And the governor already signaled that Congress report is doable. I mean, we even go after the governor because there's a what is it called? There's a board which name now is lost to me, who hasn't met ever through the Baker administration and now into the Healey administration. So we did some like reforms here that we heard from gun advocates, like you have these review boards and violence prevention boards, and they never met. And we're like, well, this is a problem. So, you know, we did listen to folks about, you know, what wasn't working. And I do know that everybody has to lobby. Don't get me wrong. I mean, all the advocacy groups have to do what they're going to do. I mean, so I never slight them, but at the same time, you know, the chairs of the committee and the committee itself, not my committee, I don't chair judiciary, but I mean, people listened and you're not going to get everything you want. And, but even among the Democratic caucus, people acknowledge they didn't get everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
So there is great satisfaction, on a, what we got in terms of addressing the issues need to be addressed through the Supreme Court ruling.
So how will you ensure that somebody who creates a ghost gun, registers it? How will
Can't,
it?
you won't, you can't, you, it's creation of ghost guns illegal by itself.
Okay.
This isn't like a kit you buy. I mean, we know that there are gun enthusiasts who like to assemble their own firearms. To assemble, you have to get the serial number,
Okay.
right? Ghost guns aren't even like a gun kit. They're 3D printed guns.
Right, you're just a computer program. You tell your computer to make this ghost gun, right?
Yeah, and it's not even like it came from. It's not even like it came from like a gun manufacturer that you can do
Right.
something yourself. This is literally a homemade weapon, and homemade weapons are not acceptable.
Right.
These gun manufactured weapons, one, they are safe. You don't want a gun blowing up in your face, right?
Right, true.
If it's assembled correctly, the gun manufacturer has to assure its safety. Gun owners are responsible gun owners. You just don't get a gun kit just because why, right? It's not just because. I mean, they're enthusiastic about this collection, and they're very responsible. But if you're manufacturing guns at home on a printer, I think you're really interested in doing something else.
Yeah, and do those guns fire real bullets? Do ghost guns? Well, they do. Oh.
Oh yeah, 3D printing has really changed the world because people see 3D printing as something you just do a plastic. No, it's you can do a lot of things with 3D printing today. And
Oh.
yeah, it's tech the technology again. We have to keep up with the tech. And I was telling this to the interns, you can't predict the future. I mean, the government's always very reactive because you try to predict the future, you're gonna get it wrong.
Well, right. I mean, artificial intelligence is still looming in the future. We don't know anything about really.
Correct. And trying to anticipate stuff is difficult. So the best you can do is try to use the information you got today to try to do the best for tomorrow. The problem is that tomorrow you may have new information. And technology is the worst because it moves so quickly. And when I tell one of the interns, you expect, a bunch of politicians from all different backgrounds to try to learn something regarding technology in a short period of time.
It's a challenge for sure.
Yeah, that's why you rely on experts, right? You need to talk to folks regarding AI and computers and things like that. Like, I know stuff, you know stuff, but it isn't like we're neck high in development of these technologies.
No, yeah, you bring in the people that do that on a daily basis.
Yeah, AI was actually a big conversational piece in the intern
Oh,
seminar.
I believe it. I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little surprised how many questions I got regarding AI.
Well, I mean, it's even come up at the local school department level where, school committees are worried about students using AI to take exams and things.
Well, as I like to say, it reminds me a little bit of what the first days of Wikipedia. Not exactly apples and oranges, but the correlation is this, right? There was no verification, there's no checking, there was no like just people vomiting stuff onto the internet via Wikipedia. And eventually they had to create guidelines and fact checking and citations to ensure the information on Wikipedia, was, I don't say accurate, but at least you could find sources when information's come from, you can make your own determination. With AI today, they're talking about, consumes an enormous amount of data in the internet and regurgitate the summary for you in plain English. Again, it comes back to citing, right? And, guys like Microsoft and ChatGPT is now pursuing licenses, with publications that they consider to be legitimate, verifiable information that can, provide, accurate information, best possible for an artificial intelligence to give you the best summary. And I just was listening this morning about medical. People are starting to use ChatGPT and other similar web search AIs on medical information. And they've been testing whether or not they can actually pass medical exams. So, believe it or not, they actually have the artificial intelligence has a higher passage rate than people
Is that right?
on the medical tests. But keep in mind, it's like an open book exam.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And like you and me, an open book exam, we're flipping pages forever. The AI algorithm will allow it to comb through a lot of data with its processor and ingurgitate much quicker a summary of all that data. And if you ask a sufficiently narrow enough question, it can give you the most narrow possible answer.
Right. Yeah. In a nanosecond.
Yeah, in fractions of a second.
Right.
So you have to look at it as like, yeah, it does a better test, but it is an open book exam.
Yeah, it has all the answers. It's just faster at finding them.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So, I told everybody, it's not everything is on the internet. We just talked about, the horrific assassination attempt. I mean, AI would never have found that kid. I'm telling you right now. The guy had no footprint in the internet world. So you put an AI and say, who's going to assassinate the former president? It wouldn't bring up that person.
Right.
So don't people should be not considering AI as a miracle device. It is going to change the world. Don't get me wrong, but if people put too much stock into it, well, that's very problematic. And I told the class. I mean, I told the interns. It's all in moderation. Don't buy too deep into it, but you do have to take it seriously.
Can we talk a little bit about another bill making its way through the process, Jackie, on energy?
Yeah, we did an energy-setting bill yesterday in the House. I would not lie to you; it is not an exciting reading bill. I did go through it, and they do energy, as you guys all know. I know something about this field, and it is not what I call the most exciting reading in my life.
No, but the end result is kind of, I mean, the goal anyway, a net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050.
Yeah, it's very aggressively moving towards acquisition of renewable power, and we're looking at everything from increasing our windmill contracts from 20 to 30 years, exploring again more hydro opportunities wherever we can find it besides Hydro-Québec, which we still have this problem in Maine, which we talked about way too often about Maine being a problem for us to get hydro, but also looking at fission power. Fission is becoming realistic, and the Massachusetts technology companies are among the leaders in fission technology,
Is
which
that nuclear? Isn't that nuclear?
nuclear is also in the bill.
Oh,
There
is that
is,
not fission? That's two separate things.
yeah, that's few. There's fission and there's nuclear fusion.
Oh,
So,
okay.
God, now you ask me a science question. Ugh. So there are some nuclear plants going up. We want to be in the forefront of being able to purchase power at those nuclear plants because we don't want to be left behind. And nuclear power is no emissions, actually. It has zero emissions. But of course, you have the nuclear waste issue. But the modern technology allows nuclear waste to be recycled for hundreds of years. The French are at the forefront of nuclear rod recycling. So the days of Yucca Mountain still exist, but the days of Yucca Mountain going every day is not going to exist in the same way you all think it's going to exist. So it is changing really quickly, nuclear power. I think people have this misconception nuclear power hasn't changed since the 70s. That is complete fiction. Japan, France, Germany, I mean, a lot of these countries around the world are like light years ahead of us because one, they have no space to put anything. So they're forced to, create much more efficiency in the nuclear energy. So nuclear is when you break atoms apart, and the result of the breaking of a uranium substance will result in a mass amount of energy generation, which generates heat, which heats the water, which turns a turbine. Okay, see if I can remember what fission is. Fission is the opposite. Fission is pushing together radioactive. I think it's radioactive. You need to get a scientist on here, Joe. You're making a armchair scientist here. So you're pushing the atoms together. You're fusing. It's fission. You're fusing them together to create an inert substance, and energy released from that will generate heat, which would follow the same as nuclear. So the reason fission is interesting because that's fission reactions is what essentially run power is how the sun works. It's constantly using gravity to compress hydrogen and helium. Well, it's really hydrogen at this point. Molecules down. You need to get a scientist on here
Yeah, it's the first I've heard of this, Tacky, honestly.
to keep squeezing. The sun keeps squeezing small, hydrogen atoms to the point where they just, become so dense, they generate a lot of power, and eventually that energy is going to get released by
Oh, okay.
pushing. But the problem with fission is that the amount of energy you need to put into pushing together outweighs the energy that comes out of it.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, so that's always been a challenge, but there's been breakthroughs in technology already showing that there's new techniques coming along where the output is actually greater than the input.
Okay. All
And
right.
that's the objective. Nuclear has enormous output
Yep.
with minimal input. And so that's why nuclear is so attractive relative to other energy sources where, nuclear runs 24/7. There's no worry about sun and wind.
Right.
The amount of power you put in is would be even is actually less than what you put into fossil fuels to generate power. So that's when it was interesting. Fission's very interesting because there's no nuclear waste. It creates an inert substance,
Okay. All right.
which for life, don't ask me what that substance
No, I
is.
wasn't going to ask you that, but this is the first I've heard of this type of energy production, so that's interesting.
Yeah, the paper we're talking about this for a very, very long time. And I'm sure someone's going to email you an actual science answer. So please do. Email me the real science answer.
The whole goal is to boil water to get steam to drive
At
the
the end of the day, that's the bottom line,
turbines.
which is why a lot of nuclear power plants are located somewhere near large bodies of water.
Right, exactly.
So that actually nuclear energy is not in the water exactly. It's the heat generated from it is what's heating the water.
That's right. Yep.
So it's kind of yes, kind of no answer. It's one of
It's like
those.
a, just think of it as a giant tea kettle on
Yeah,
the
that's one way of looking at it.
stove.
But I mean, that's why I'm kind of like kind of yes, kind of no. I mean,
Yeah, interesting.
it's one of those things. So we also do
Anyway,
things.
what does this bill do, Tacky?
Yeah, no, we also do stuff expediting the energy setting board. Energy setting board can take 10 plus years to address any kind of energy setting, including battery storage. And there's another thing, the state's already put laws in place regarding battery technology on energy storage, which is crucial for renewable power. And the energy setting board is dragging their feet on this stuff. So we actually start to consolidate a lot of the permitting process at the local level with the state level, so everything comes in at one time. And to really kind of hold the feet to fire the energy setting board regarding especially battery power and renewable generation.
Okay.
So that's a big part of it too. We do create a consumer awareness board. Basically, one of the challenges a lot of people have regarding energy siting and energy rates is that no one understands them. So we created a new agency who's charged with basically giving the public the ability to weigh in and actually tell them what's going on. I think that agency is going to take a little time to evolve. I think it's inside DPU, Department of Public Utilities. So that's another thing that goes in there. We do some adjustments to Class One, which is low yielding energy generation on aerobotic. It's basically bacteria generated stuff. And then we also clarified to expand the definition of well, not really expand. We actually modified the allowance on gas pipelines regarding the addition of the day when we're not going to use natural gas at one point. So the lines can still be used for something else like hydrogen.
Oh, okay.
So
Interesting.
we put provisions in for future alternative fuels other than that is not natural gas to go into our gas pipeline system once we kind of wean ourselves off of gas.
Okay.
Because the future is hard to hold, and hydrogen is a legit technology that everyone seems to ignore, but hydrogen's byproduct is water.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
So hydrogen energy generation is, is something that we're already want to get in front of, and the existing natural gas line system is how we're going to be able to do it, because otherwise we have to build brand new gas line systems.
Okay,
So,
so well, that's some forward thinking there. That's good.
yeah, it's not going to happen tomorrow. This
No.
is we're thinking deep in the future based on tech we know today, to create a situation where transition is allowed to happen.
Okay, and
So.
that was that passed? That's that all set to go, or
That's gone to the Senate.
oh, okay.
So We think the Senate should. No, I'm sorry. It's going to conference committee. The Senate
Oh.
already did it. Senate did a whole different comprehensive piece that had really nothing to do with what we did. So we
Okay.
got two very, very odd looking bills going to conference committee.
Okay.
The conference committee is probably going to form probably Monday. So
Okay. All right.
Monday is a huge crunch to get it done.
So, speaking of, how's the budget coming, by the way?
A speaker tells us that the budget is and done in principle, meaning to have an agreement. So now the two committees are drafting the final version. We're on call every single day because we have the veto issue. So the governor has 10 days from getting the bill to line in a veto, straight up veto the whole thing, amend veto, or in a way she can also not sign it. It goes into law after 10 days, but she's not going to do that. So, we're trying to create a bit of time here between now and July 31st that if there's veto issues that we can try to address. So the time crunch is really now set in because once we go out of session, admit it, August 1st, we're not coming back to do over. And that basically puts Ways and Means on a huge time crunch. That's where we're on call out of time because technically speaking, call us in whenever he wants. He just issued
Right. Maybe
order.
next week at this time when we talk, we'll have some news.
It could be tomorrow. It could be in tomorrow or Saturday. I mean, the speaker controls the calendar. So
That's
whenever.
right. So he told Tacky, don't leave town.
As I said at the early part of the podcast this month, my schedule in the second half of the month is non-mobile in terms of like I'm not traveling around. We're close to the statehouse or the house, and then that's it. And then we'll reshuffle for the schedule as needed. To address whenever the speaker puts his schedule out.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I got a notice this morning from the T, big red line shutdown coming in September. Total shutdown.
We got word from the T also. I getting ready for more angry calls. It's not a long shutdown. I know that doesn't provide any solace, okay? I know. I believe September 24th for total shutdown September. This will finalize the rail system as they go through the entire system again to make sure the rail is not dangerous. Derailment is the objective. We don't want you to derail. Derailing is bad. So they're going through this final check. They're going to make sure everything's shored up. And one of the benefits of them shoring it up is they're going to increase the speed limit. So the speed limit's been 40 miles an hour since I can remember when I worked in Morrissey's office talking to the T. And this a confirmation, once the rails are confirmed that everything's good, they can increase the speed limit to 50 miles an hour.
Wow, that'll be huge. Okay.
That 10-mile difference in speed limit is, yeah, it's huge
Yep.
in terms of getting people quickly down the Braintree line. So the inconvenience is going to be awful again for everybody. At least the buses and stuff is there. We've done this enough times, so it's not like we don't know how to do this. However, the benefit is you're going to get 10 more miles of an hour out of it, which will cut down time significantly going from JFK to Braintree Station.
No, for sure. Yeah, definitely will. And the new trains, are they trickling in, do you know?
I'm not sure what's going on with that company out in Springfield.
Yeah.
They've already been warned. They've been, I won't say fine per se, but there's been definitely threats of doing things to them financially to respond better. They're actually in charge of both the assembly of the red and orange line cars. Hopefully, it should have been already on the tracks, by the way. That's how far they are behind.
Right. Yep. I know
So,
the pandemic threw a wrench into everything.
yeah, but they should have been out there already. And
Yeah.
the tour manager is very much on top of that issue because it's like this is intolerable. And also, like I remind folks, this was the lowest bid by like almost $300 million. I mean, this is what happens in a low bid state. A Chinese company came in and did this, but you also had a Korean company and a Japanese country. Actually, I think the Korean company sued the state and didn't win the lawsuit.
No.
I'm not taking them as the second, they're the second lowest bid, but that was still like two. I mean, between two, I think $250 to $300 more,
Yeah.
Chinese company. So this is one of kind of the drawbacks of being a low bid state, as opposed to best available. So,
Well, stay tuned.
whatever. Yeah, whatever. Stay tuned. Also, speaking of stay tuned, ballot question. There is five ballot questions. However, one of them is still in court.
Oh, yes, we talked about this.
Yeah, it's the one I kept forgetting about. It's the because it isn't technically in the ballot yet. It's the minimum wage for service workers in restaurants.
Right. The Restaurant Association's challenging it, I think.
Yeah, and that's still an SJC. As of this week, there has been no ruling yet on whether it's going to make the ballot. So that should be ruled on pretty soon because advocates are getting signatures and they have to be in August. So that's your potential fifth ballot question that's still dangling out there.
I think there was supposed to be a hearing yesterday, I believe, but I didn't hear, so I'll check on that.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either. I've not seen anything in State House News or Commonwealth Magazine.
Likewise,
So Commonwealth Magazine, we get like daily emails with like a whole summary on that on top of the State House News Service, and you get political, and there's only so many news services and email you can possibly read in a day, by the way.
So, and the court that it itself actually has daily updates on cases as well.
But I use the news service because it's easier.
So stay tuned for that. So four right now, and potentially five.
Potentially five. So, yeah, like I say, you probably won't see a whole lot of advertising after Labor Day.
Right. That's just for the November 5th ballot, and nothing on the primary ballot for ballot questions.
Yeah, and in August, most people are not paying attention to ballot questions in August. You can send all the mail you want, but you're probably not going to pay too much attention to it just yet.
Yeah,
But
no, exactly.
so the blitz always occurs, as you get closer to Election Day for these ballot advocacy groups because it. People are, out of vacation mode and are more in tune of, paying more attention to the final election.
Anything going on in the district we should let folks know about?
Trying to think what's on my calendar because
August Moon, of course, coming up.
well, that's August 18th. That's a long
That's
ways
a
out.
ways to go, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of my again, like my calendar really is revolving around the State House for the next 2 weeks. So, I mean. I'm trying to think. I don't think there's a lot of local events. Once we get on July 4th, it really just quiets down quickly, which I'm grateful for. Don't get me wrong.
No, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got the farmers markets. There's two of them. We've got the things going on downtown, the free concerts. The library's got all kinds of stuff. Recreation department has all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, there's plenty going on.
And groups like Highland Street, or is, I think what it's called, it's a not-for-profit. Is it Highland Street or High Street? It's Highland Street. They're not-for-profit that provides free museum passes. They provide one free museum availability for families around the state all through the month of August, every day of August. So something to look up. Of course, my memory's killing me right now regarding the name of the website, but I know it's Highland Street or High Street. I think it's Highland Street
Okay.
now. And yeah, they provide free 1 day. Every day they have a free museum open somewhere. And the Thomas Crane Library has a lot of resources too regarding getting passes to local museums, either free or at a discount. Definitely, people should take advantage of that as well.
For sure, yeah.
There's a lot of resources this summer. And I have to say, the city's done a great job in front of City Hall at the Adams Park to have people and families, have a place to hang out and have entertainment and food trucks and performers and all that. So, city does a really good job on getting that out there for people to have a place to be during Saturdays.
Yep. I know we have just a couple of minutes left, but I guess we'll touch on the migrant issue just because it was in the news this week about the Wollaston T station folks showing up there.
This is going to, obviously, this is a problem, and I think it's not going to go away really quickly. So, where are we? Well, Eastern Aspen College is closing. They're officially closing end of this year. That's what I know so far. The contract for the emergency shelter will also terminate with the closing of the school. It's right around the same period of time. Obviously, one of the big concerns is that migrants will know it's closed and they're going to come through the city and they're going to find a closed building. I mean, that's a legit concern. However, that being said, the state has been sending migrants there. They've been directing them there, as opposed to people just randomly showing up. And so far, I live in Wollaston. I walk the same neighborhood as ENC, and there's been minimal or no disruptions from influx of people. And it is a welcome center. They come in, they come out. They don't really impact our school systems at all. But one of the concerns we have regarding the migrant crisis, regarding the shelter situation, is that if they're not in a shelter, where they're going to be.
Right, ever since the airport situation got changed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. I understand the concern. We all hear over and over again our financial concerns. And we also hear again our concerns regarding the governor's office and accountability about how they're using money. And we also want greater accountability in the legislature. But let's be realistic, people, right? If they're not, they have to be somewhere. This was brought to attention of Ed Augustus at Housing Secretary, which is called, what, of living something. I hate when they change the names of something that's so obvious, but the housing secretary, and they have a triage team, and they're going to do the best in trying to address the issue of walls and station. To my knowledge, that's kind of what's going on. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the summer is pretty rough on people, and there's no sign the summer's going to get better. And you got women and children out there, as you all now see. People don't seem to believe that it's actually women and children when you talk to people. They're actual families. The winter is when it's going to get really scary.
Yeah.
So the governor's office, they've already put out the regulations with a bunch of caveats, but they are limiting times people in the shelter system, and then you're on your own. We've got some constituent inquiries about, jobs and whatnot, but the reality is they didn't get work permits when they came in. They got temporary emergency visas. They're here legally, on temporary emergency visas, but they don't have work permits to come with it, which is the federal government has to approve those, and the state is still trying to work with the feds on getting these permits done quickly. So that's kind of what I know so far. I'm not sure what the progress is on different things yet. Office and I had actually had a chat this morning before we got on this call about this issue. So we're already with John Keenan's office and Bruce and Ron's office. I mean, we're all talking among ourselves. Office guys are talking, staff's talking among themselves about different things. And we need to get our hands around, especially with the ENC closure and the Welcome Center, how this is going to transition out. But I think, you're going to, it's just more obvious when there's kids involved.
Right. It's interesting you say that because it finally is humanizing the issue when you see these folks and what they're dealing with. They've got their suitcases, all the belongings they have in the world, sitting there at the train station.
Well, I like, as like to say, I mean, I don't reduce people to statistics. I mean, I get a lot of statistics, obviously. I get a lot of reports and studies and kind of process my email, my desk. And I do try to at least get through the executive summary, and I flip through some of the big graphs and the bigger numbers. But I mean, there's a human being behind every number. And I never forget that. And it's easy for folks to get on social media or send me an email. And some people aren't kind how they email about these human issues. But yeah, I mean, I'm fully conscious aware of the fact that there's a face here, and I'm not the only one. I mean, talking to my colleagues around the state, they're all having similar problems in different locales, and people just don't know what to do anymore. It's just too much for any one of us to easily address, and frankly, it's tough on us because we represent our constituencies, but we also aren't here to hurt anyone. Particularly, a situation, that's actually very tragic. And we talk about, the governor's PR stunt, which is what it was, its border and whatnot, which I still scratch my head about. But reality is, you got to address the issues here. And I know we constantly blame the feds, but and we will still keep blaming the feds, but we still have to address the issue now. But it doesn't mean we don't keep we don't not stop keep. Pounding on our federal delegation and administration in DC to help us out to find a much more practical solution than us drinking out of a fire hose.
Yeah, it's a symptom of a larger problem, right, is what we're seeing.
Yeah. And Closing the border is a great conversation, but they're already here. So, and they are legally here, not illegally. They're legally here on temporary visas. And of course, part of the purpose of the welcome center, vaccinations, medical checkup, evaluation of, whether or not they need English assistance, right? What's the conditions of the children? Are they healthy, or is there something more going on here? Tuberculosis, right? There's a lot of things here that the Welcome Center addresses, that actually keeps everybody safe, right? Measles have made a comeback, right? I didn't realize we stopped immunizing measles at one point with some kids. I have my measles shot. You've had your measles shot, but I didn't realize that was not a thing anymore. And the measles is actually making a global comeback. So, I mean, I just don't have an answer for it. It's something that's in our home, and I just don't know how best to address it. We're doing the best we can, but I mean, beyond that, I don't know what to say.
It's well, some of at least some of the social service agencies are stepping up to help mitigate as best as possible.
Yeah, and but the homeless shelters, for example, generally have single gender homeless shelters, and they're not really designed for families. And that's the other thing people don't realize is that, Father Bill's is wonderful, Rosie's Place, Pine Street Inn, many, many others. They're generally single person gender driven.
All right. Well, we'll have to continue that conversation in the future because we're out of time, Jackie.
It's going to be a busy week. We even talked about Joe Biden getting COVID.
Oh, yeah, that just came out today, actually.
Well, actually, last night, and this is how ridiculous this got it. I got in like no less than five emails from the Biden campaign because I'm on the, Democratic email list. So I'm getting like maybe five plus a day, and which is kind of awful is that the email I got last night actually put at the bottom, P.S. I have COVID. I'm okay. I mean, talk about real-time solicitation for money. And I just looked at him like, oh my God, we're at this point of the Biden campaign, which I find a terrible sign personally as a kept longtime campaign observer. But then we can save that for next week because I suspect there'll be even more controversial news. And the RNC convention ends this week. And yeah, it's and like I say the assassination attempt on the former president is going to completely change the DNC security.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going, guys. I've never had an interest in going to a DNC convention. Never had an interest. So, but I mean, I know a lot of people, I know people are going, and I kind of jokingly like, get ready for a complete strip search is my joke.
Practically,
It's going to be, I mean, right now they already have to go through two Magnetrons to even get to a Donald Trump rally. I mean, you have multiple things scanning your body to before you can even enter a rally. I mean, the RNC cranked it up to the next level. So I'm predicting the DNC is going to crank it even to the next level security that the RNC did. That's, they're going to even in the DNC crank up's probably going to next crank up for every public event for all the candidates. So, like I said, everybody should have a right to go to rallies and all that. But everybody should have a right to be safe at every rally too. And it's going to be a huge inconvenience for folks. But that's the price of safety, some inconvenience to exercise your right to to be at a rally, express your political opinion. So yeah, it's going to be a wild and challenging summer. But with that, I'm at the State House today. You can catch me in the afternoon at room 42. Come in for a tour. I always really much encourage everyone come in for a tour to State House. It is the summertime. Are you looking for something to do with the kids? 617-722-2370. 617-722-2370 is the phone. Tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, TACKEY.CHAN at mahouse.gov is my email. I do check my emails. Can't remember everybody's email, but I do read all the emails. At Tacky Chan is the X account, as well as State Representative Tacky Chan is the Facebook account. TackyChan.org is our reference page, and we also have MALegislature.gov. So you're welcome to look up the bills and watch our sessions online. And of course, we're here on QATV with Joe. at least hopefully once a week, the best we can. And you have a problem, you can call him first.
I'll be sure and forwarded the message to
But I wish you
you.
all be safe, be well. I know it's going to be a little bit cooler this week, but again, give some public service things at the beginning of this, but also, don't leave your pets in cars, and your kids and yourself. The car temperature will go higher than the air temperature outside over time. So, please be mindful of that as well. Whether don't take a nap in your car, but also don't leave your pets and children in the car or take them with you.
Thanks so much, Jackie. We'll check in next week.
Talk to you next week, Joe.